feature presentation.
Welcome back to Road Trip Cinema. I'm your host today, Saeed, with my co-host,
John Rose.
And we're discussing the last entry in our current series of Godzilla, more the Toho's of Godzilla, Shin Godzilla, produced by Toho, 2016 release date. I had no idea this was coming out. I actually didn't find out about this movie until like 8 months after it had already released in Japan, because this was my first proper Godzilla movie, so I just kind of, I listened to a podcast of some YouTubers I watched, and they spent like 5 minutes talking about Shin Godzilla. And just the way they were describing it, and one of them had compared it to the original, while all of the, you know, 70s, 80s, 60s, they were all kind of goofy and silly. This one kind of took it back to almost a horror route of storytelling and its nature. And I was like, okay, maybe this is different. Maybe I should actually give this a shot. So I turned it off before they got the spoilers. So I was like, I need to take this in as it is. And I did, and I was fucking blown away. Shin Godzilla is so important to me, and that's why I'm struggling now that we've seen Minus One, and we've recorded these all out of order, but that's why I struggled with Minus One possibly being my favorite, just because Shin Godzilla was my entry point. That's my nostalgia, almost.
I get it. You have an attachment to it, and that's why the notes are about to come out. Oh, shit.
Yeah, so I made 2 pages for the original Godzilla. We were talking about, I made half a page in very big lettering for 98. I wrote very small and filled 3 pages for Shin Godzilla. I love Shin Godzilla.
Well, actually, you're the reason I've seen Shin Godzilla before I watched it for this review, because I am a nerd and follow movies and saw it was coming out. And as I've said in previous podcasts, Godzilla's kind of been ruined for me because I grew up watching the silly shit, and the spectacle of 98 sold me to watch it, and sure, I liked it as a kid, but I was never like, oh my god, I gotta watch this Godzilla film. So right. Yeah, that just never appealed to me until one day you were like, hey, you need to see this. So,
well, that's what I went on. I would go in waves, but every few months for 3 or 4 years after its release, I would just go to anybody who showed any remote interest in Godzilla in any way, shape, or form. Whether it's the silly Toho, the original, even 98s, or the goofy stuff. Like, you know, all of it. Or even the Monsterverse. Like, I'd be like, but you need to see Shin Godzilla. It is truly something in its own. It's unique. Because it's another allegory, and it plays a lot of the same beats as the original. But this one, instead of being a whole nuclear war thing, and US is bad, and this is our evil, this film is almost a self-critique of Japan itself. Like, the whole thing is
of democracy.
Oh, I would say bureaucracy, actually.
Yeah, I like that.
I struggle because I used to say democracy, but it's the bureaucracy.
Yeah, you're right.
And I'll talk more about that later because I have that in my notes too. But you were talking about how you heard about this coming out, and I think that was a big deal because this film would break a 12-year hiatus of Toho-produced Godzilla films.
Yeah, this is the longest.
It's the absolute longest. It's almost surprising how long it took. But 2004's, I think, Final Wars?
Yeah, they finally put it to bed. That was the one that was supposed to, like, wrap everything up.
Well, it was supposed to almost, like, reinvigorate the franchise. They wanted to do something huge for the 50th anniversary, I think?
Yeah,
it was, because 1954. It was the 50th anniversary. They wanted to do something huge, and it just kind of flopped and floundered. And like, it was fine, but it didn't do anything all that impressive. It just kind of a montage of Godzilla beating up all of his foes throughout the years.
Well, like I said, it was supposed to wrap everything up.
Right, with their current iteration. So yeah, it would break a 12-year hiatus. So people were almost, like, hungry for more at this point. It's been lying dormant. Let's do something. And they did something new with it. They didn't just, like, hey, you know, let's do Godzilla again. They were like, hey, they got, I'm sure, do you know what Attack on Titan is?
Yes.
Okay, do you know there's 2 live-action films in Japan?
Yes.
Okay, so they got a VFX supervisor and director. Both of them co-direct this film. And okay, I didn't write down either of their names for some reason. And I feel bad about that now, because they did a fantastic job. And I think the Attack on Titan films almost gave them their sense of scale and shooting. because this Godzilla, it's pretty consistent in size whenever they show. There's no continuity issues like there is in the Monsterverse. This Godzilla is always shown from some kind of human point of view where it can be out of frame sometimes, but that's only to show quite how massive it actually is. Godzilla in this film is actually an allegory for the 2011 earthquake and tsunami.
And
you can see that from the moment Godzilla first crawls on land. Like,
wait, are you leaving out the other one?
I haven't gotten to that part yet. This Godzilla does something unique. It evolves throughout the film. It evolves to adapt to its environment. And, you know, we talked about 98's Godzilla being very animalistic. I think this Godzilla is the animal one. Like, this one really starts as a scared little animal that's just, like,
it's
running
like
through the streets. And it just keeps, it's accidentally running over people and killing them. And even when it's coming up from the river, from Tokyo Bay, it's coming up the river and then makes landfall. All the water pushing off, the boats coming off, and people running is supposed to invoke the feeling of the flooding and of the earthquake and tsunami.
Yeah.
Like, that's supposed to be almost a one-to-one, like, hey, here's where we're at. And this is when, you know, the endless bureaucracy and government meetings that delay any helpfulness actually happens. And it's the same with the actual incident in 2011. Thousands of lives lost for no reason because all the bureaucracy took too long and they had endless meetings over. Like, they even have a meeting over, what do we name it? Well, let's get some experts in to tell us what it is so we know how to name it. It's like, this isn't helping what's happening right now. And it's almost frustrating with these characters, because the characters aren't buffoons or silly. They're played seriously, and that's part of their culture, what their bureaucracy is. Everything is meetings, task force, assignments. And you don't want to be the odd man out in that culture. Like, you are there to do your job. You don't speak up. You let the higher-ups do it. So the one guy who does speak up and say, I think it's a creature, we should probably get ahead of this, he's ignored. They think he's silly and childish. I want to point out, there's one shot as it is pushing the water up of a guy just fucking booking it down the street. And I can't get that shot out of my head. Like, the water is just kind of like cresting up the road, and he is... This extra was earning his fucking money. He arms full of clothes and bags, and he's sprinting away from the camera in a way I've never seen an actor do on camera. I think it's incredible. Tom Cruise be damned. Nobody runs like this Japanese man in the alleyway that you don't even see the face of. But where you were leading into, throughout the film, Godzilla evolves, stands upright, and he kind of learns. He fails and falls a few times. But when he comes back, he's been hit with weapons, and his skin is adapted to almost become this tumor look that's reminiscent of the original, but a little more gruesome because it's cracked skins. You can see kind of the blood inside. This Godzilla bleeds everywhere, too. It's really gory for a Godzilla movie. Bleeds everywhere, and it starts emitting radiation at this point once it attacks Tokyo again. And that's where its skin is reminiscent of the victims of I have to spell this out big because I'll fuck it up. The Fukushima nuclear disaster, and their radiation burns, and the way the skin kind of cracked and melted in some spots, and got all fucked up. And so he looks like he's in pain. It is a creature in pain. It's constantly being bombed and shot at. It's the most animalistic, I think, at first, and then becomes almost this entity of evil as it walks through.
Well, because we're watching this thing go through its life cycle.
Right.
Like, I was watching it with my wife, and when it first comes ashore, she goes, is this Godzilla?
It's almost silly-looking.
Yeah, and I had to explain. This is, like, its tadpole form.
Yeah. I think I wrote larva in here.
Yeah, this is it in its baby form.
I like tadpole better. That's a lot better than larva. It's not a bug. But I think the biggest point of the bureaucracy, the entire first act of the film is almost entirely endless board meetings.
The first act?
Yeah. That's the biggest part of it. They kind of start easing into more Godzilla during the second act.
Okay.
But the whole first act is almost entirely all boardroom meetings. And, like I said, pointless bullshit about, like, what do we name it? Stupid shit. One guy throws out, like, you know, they have a saying on Odo Island of Godzilla. So, and that's the American name, so it's silly. And it's just a throwaway line, but it made me feel comfortable hearing Odo Island. But in its early stages, Godzilla is a vulnerable creature. You could kill it, but part of their bureaucracy and the way they view life in a post-World War II and no longer Imperial Army Japan, is we can't have any casualties or collateral damage whatsoever. So when there is just two civilians that are kind of walking along train tracks somewhere near Godzilla when it's standing still and they have attack helicopters ready to blow it up, they call off the attack.
Well, you view that culturally. I viewed that more as like a political statement of them, like, oh God, this would look bad on me. I can't have this look bad on me.
Absolutely. I mean, that's part of the whole bureaucracy nonsense of it all, is like, if I do this, then they won't like me as prime minister.
Right.
It's like, but that's not the problem. The problem is thousands just died in that building it took out.
Yeah.
So maybe we should take it out before it takes out any more buildings. they mentioned, I don't know if you caught it, that he consumes nuclear waste.
Yeah.
As a small creature. So this could have been just a fucking fish, for all we know. Like, we don't really get a proper origin. All we get as far as an origin is there was a scientist out in a boat who took his own life. And I guess that's I don't want to say a cultural thing, because suicide shouldn't be cultural, but to leave your shoes and jump off a boat is a form of suicide.
Right.
So they find this right at the beginning of the film. It opens on Coast Guard finding this abandoned boat with these weird schematics and shoes left and a note saying,
do as you will.
Exactly. Glad you remember, because I completely fucking forgot. So it's like, this guy had figured it out, and either knew it was coming and couldn't live with it, or fuck it.
I took it more that he designed this.
That he, like, created this creature?
Yeah.
I always took it as, like, this is something that he knows this bureaucracy would never comprehend, because the idea of it being a large creature, it's just so silly that nobody even listens to the kid in the first border meeting.
Right. But just, like, how everything ties back to him, I viewed it as something that he created to bring down this democracy that failed him.
Okay, I could see that.
And that's why it was do as you will, knowing that they're just gonna fuck it up.
The creature, when it finally makes landfall, like, I love this scene, because it's the little Godzilla tadpole kind of kicking its way through the streets at this point. Like, it's made landfall just now. It's a scared creature that's literally kicking its hind legs to get around with these little nubs that I find still hilarious. But during the same time, the Prime Minister is holding a press conference where he was told explicitly, only give out information that we have verified. And that's when he goes out and says, oh yeah, we're sure this thing can't make landfall. And like, as soon as he says it, it makes landfall. And he has a guy come up and go, hey, it made landfall. And he, on camera, he goes, it did? Huh? How? Like, I just love, and the shot is almost like a punch zoom on it. Like,
yeah.
Oh, just, I love that, but to its, the idea of it being a scared animal, I think it kicking on those hind legs and trying to, at one point, it kind of shimmies up a building with its snake-like neck at the time and kicks itself forward, up, and topples the building before it can even figure out how to stand.
Yeah, it's just this confused baby.
Right, like exactly. It
has no idea what's going on. You're even talking about that punch zoom, and to me, that kind of plays to, like, this film is almost a satire.
Yeah.
Like, it tonally, it's not, but it's basically a satire in how it's written.
You know, I've always seen this film as a big middle finger to their own government.
Oh, yes.
Like, if you told me that these writers and directors had family, loved ones, friends that perished in the tsunami and earthquake and nuclear disaster, I would believe you, because this feels personal.
Yeah.
This feels like they're like, fuck you and your stupid nonsense that let thousands of people die and perish and be tortured by these radiation burns for so long.
Yeah.
For no reason.
And that aspect, it feels akin to the original.
Right. This is a statement. This movie's not just like an allegory. It's a fucking statement.
Yeah.
Like, hey, we're saying this right now, and you're going to fucking listen whether you like it or not. And that's funny to me, because Japan fucking loved this movie.
Oh, yeah.
They ate this movie up. Their version of the Oscars, it cleaned up everything it was nominated for. This movie was beloved, made a shit ton of money, and then they didn't show it in the U.S. It took a year for it to come here on physical media. Couldn't even get any kind of like special Fathom event release, even.
That's strange.
I'm aware of. But I think that might, again, fall under, like, is anyone really interested in these? Because our last one was Final Wars. Nobody saw that.
Yeah, no one gave a shit about that.
And this, I think it's almost strange, though, because this is 2 years after the legendary Godzilla started. And that movie was a financial success. They made $500 million on that movie.
I'm saving my opinion.
But it's a financial success. That's what I said. It's a financial success. We'll talk about this in a few months. But
all I'm saying is I'm saving my opinion. I'm not discussing anything about it. That's all I meant.
It just seems bizarre to me that they wouldn't then be like, well, there's clearly an audience for Godzilla. Why would we not release it here? Even subtitled, it would take barely any effort.
I wouldn't be surprised if it was legendary or...
Like they held it back, be like, hey, you're going to cut into our profits.
Exactly, yeah.
Honestly, it might have been. Yeah, actually, now that you're saying that, I think I did read an article about how up until 2021 or 2022, Legendary had exclusive theater rights to Godzilla, which would also make sense.
It makes business sense.
Right.
For us viewers, it doesn't, but business sense
it's makes. Unfortunate to us. It's good money for Legendary, probably.
Yeah.
Although, I would always see it as more hype, but if you have too much at one time, Star Wars proved that can be an issue, so.
So did Marvel.
Yeah. So, moving back to Shin Godzilla, I thought the visual effects of this film are fucking amazing.
Yeah, visually, very good.
It's actually a mix of a form of suitmation, not classic, there's no actual suit. But they did
motion capture?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Suit tracking, where they kind of built pieces on a person, like the head and the tail, and they had a person kind of move around. So they got that motion capture of all the pieces, and then had brilliant fucking CGI from VFX artists turned directors. So they have a lot of, you know, fucking
makes
knowledge
sense.
And experience in their product, and a lot of miniatures. And big example I like for this is that scene I mentioned earlier of the guy sprinting down the street.
Uh-huh.
I mean, he was just sprinting down a fucking street. But they also recreated that street and that shot in miniatures and then flooded it and blue screened the street itself and the background he's running to. So they can just pop in, and it's mostly miniatures in that shot. I thought that's incredible. A lot of the flooding and boats in the beginning is miniatures with CGI.
There was one or two that I noticed, but it wasn't, like, taking me out of the film. Like, oh, God, look at that. However, I never picked that up, so that's impressive.
I had no idea there were miniatures involved. I thought it was all incredible CGI, or they did stuff for real. So that's impressive to me. I mentioned the U.S. is portrayed as an ally at first, but they end up becoming more of a ticking time bomb to Japan.
Yeah.
Because... at first, they're like, yeah, we'll send in the B-52s, we'll take this thing out. And when Godzilla takes those out with ease, because, you know, it's already accustomed to bombs now, and has learned how to shoot fucking lasers out of spikes and shit. Which, I guess...
evolution.
I didn't make a mention about this, because I'm sure I was going to remember it. I like the way this Godzilla's atomic breath works, where it starts out as this almost gas and smoke that comes out, and that turns into fire, which just... launches out in the big flamethrower effect, which he can hone into a beam.
Yeah, I really like that too.
And then when the B-52s come and try to drop the bombs, he closes, which is his jaw too. His jaw splitting is like,
yeah, that
unsettling almost.
Yeah, yeah, it was weird. Didn't hate it, didn't love it. Just a nice evolution. I like that they tried something different there.
Then the spikes on his back, being able to shoot out the lasers once he closes his mouth, which is a good aerial defense. It's interesting what they thought of as far as, like, how does this creature that evolves adapt to that? And that's an interesting step to take. I would have thought of that.
Again, didn't love it, didn't hate it. It was like, huh, interesting, okay.
I think the part where I started to kind of get lost there was the tail itself can shoot the beam and fire. At one point, the tail becomes a flamethrower.
Yeah.
And I thought, okay, you're losing me a little bit. I can buy the spikes because, you know, the spikes charge up and mm-hmm. glow. The tail is a little bit. But I was, you know, I thought it was still interesting.
See, I actually went more with the tail than the spikes. But that's just me.
Well, by the end of the film, the tail gets really impressive because it's the next form of evolution, which what does this Godzilla not have that the humans have? That's the numbers, the sheer numbers, and that there's so many. So it starts to begin to reproduce small miniature versions that are like hybridish, because the end shot of the film is like a pan up of the frozen Godzilla after the coagulant, and its tail it pans up to, and you see these horrifying like human Godzilla hybrids that are trying to like claw their way off.
Yeah, that was weird.
stunning. Like, when I saw it the first time, I'm like, oh, fuck, like, this is an issue. Like, that was about to turn into, like, a nightmare. Like, that just did what Godzilla 98 wanted to do, but they did it right.
And see, and both times I was just been confused by that, like, huh. And in my head thinking, what the fuck does that mean?
I really love the evolution aspect of this Godzilla, because at one point they also mentioned, like, this thing can grow wings and it'll be able to travel across the planet. So it becomes, like, a worldwide issue now. That's when the UN, and especially the US, steps in and is like, you've got 15 days till we drop nukes on you.
Yeah, exactly.
To clean this up.
Yeah, I like that, that they add a ticking clock to it.
It made it feel a little more tense, because by this point, this is the third act of the film, and we're left with all of our, you know, higher-ups have been killed in the explosions and the attacks of all the lasers everywhere. So we're down to just the scientists, really.
Right.
Left. Very few politicians are left. I wanted to talk the difference there specifically between the boardrooms and scientists with the difference of subtitles and stuff. So I've always seen this subtitle, and the subtitles, when you watch it like that, they throw up the name and title of each character that pops up. Not that you're ever going to fucking remember all of the characters, but that almost adds to the chaos of it, which is, it's hard to keep track of what's going on with so much going on and so many different voices going at once. I feel like that lends to the chaos of the bureaucracy, because you have all these voices saying, well, we can't do this because we're doing this. Well, you can't do that because then these people might get hurt, and you can't do this. Like, there's too much going on. We need to unify the voices a bit.
Right.
So, and almost a running gag throughout the film in the subtitle version is, as some of these people die off, their titles get longer. So by the end of the film, the politician guy, who's not really a politician, he was a scientist, he was the kid from the beginning who had the idea that it was a creature. He went from having this minor title, like character name title. At the end of the film, he's character name, title, 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 title.
Yeah, it was like a paragraph.
Like, it's just...
Because that's even in the dub.
Is it?
I just watched it with the dub version on the physical disc, and it's still...
Well, maybe that's the difference, because I streamed mine on Amazon Prime through Crunchyroll, the dub. So maybe that was another lost in streaming translation type issue?
Yeah, a lot of times on, like, the top black bar for the widescreen is where, like, the title for the person would pop up, and I just completely ignored it.
Gotcha.
But yeah, for him, in, like, the very end, it was, like, half the fucking screen. But
yeah, it's almost like a running gag throughout the entire film. This is the first time I've watched the dub. I've seen the sub 4 or 5 times. So I would say, generally, the dub makes the plot a lot more clear. There's a few things I know I've heard before, but I really picked up on them, like, Godzilla used to feed on the nuclear waste at the bottom. The way it has to stop and recharge after it uses its atomic breath, and that's why it disappears and comes back. And like, just a few things that are like obvious, and I probably would have remembered, but they're sticking with me a bit more now that I've heard an English voice say it to me, you know?
Right.
But I also think that comes at a cost of you lose a lot of the themes. Because like I said, you're not getting the titles as much, so you're not... you're obviously still getting the mess of bureaucracy of it all, but you're not getting the same like flurry of information at you. Like every news report is usually like 6 or 7 different voices going on at once, and in subtitles that takes up the entire screen, which lends more to the chaos of it all. Where
gotcha.
When you're dubbed, it's just voices talking over each other, and it's still chaotic, but you lose some of it. You know what I mean?
I gotcha. I've only ever seen it dubbed because there is so much talking. With my dyslexia, I would not be able to follow it.
This film is really what had me worried about Minus One, because I was like, I'm struggling with the captions on the English dub. Like, and that's why I turned the captions off. But I started thinking, like, if I'm reading too fast or too slow, I'm not going to understand who's saying what, and I'm going to get lost. And that's what started getting me worried. I've always preferred the sub, and I don't care if I rewind it or not. It doesn't matter
right.
to me. I'm at home, I can do whatever the hell I want. So, but in a theater, you don't get that option.
No.
So that had me worried. My last note here I have, I should have said it a few minutes ago. I forgot. I didn't come to it. This is the first Toho-produced Godzilla not to use a suit.
That's kind of impressive.
Yeah. Every Godzilla has used a suit in one way or another. Because there's CGI in Final Wars, and it looks like shit, but it's there.
Yeah.
But this is
a lot of miniatures.
This is the first one to not use a suit at all.
Huh.
So it's like a weird moment for Godzilla production in Toho. Because I, now that we've seen Minus One, too, I don't know if I would even think that there was a suit used. I think it was all done CGI.
I wouldn't be surprised if there was some motion capture, though.
I could believe that, yeah. But even then, that's not a suit.
Well, we were drawing comparisons to the original, which I think there's a lot. But with this one, how the original, I said, was structured like a war film. For me, this one's not even really structured. It's almost blatantly a political drama.
Oh, it's absolutely.
Yeah, it's just a political thriller with Godzilla as the cause.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mentioned when we were talking about Minus One that I like the human story in this film, which is bizarre for Godzilla films for me. But I like it because it is that political statement that's a big middle finger to their own government. Like, it's so charged with a message that I can't help but relate and be like, yeah, fuck them. All those lives were lost for no reason. Like, yeah. I'm getting exactly what you're saying, and it's making me feel about it.
Yeah. And no, I get that. And it works.
I couldn't say anything about the characters because there's so many. It's hard to keep track.
I think you really kind of have three or four leads in this that you kind of follow. But yeah, not to say they're not important, but they're kind of interchangeable. And I think that's part of the point.
When I've looked this movie up, like reviews, typically the biggest critique is you don't really care about any of the characters particularly because there's so many. And again, like, I get that as a critique for a film. But that's the point of this film. There mm-hmm. is supposed to be so much that you're struggling to keep up almost. Like,
yeah.
It's supposed to be hard to keep up with this movie, which is weird to say, but that's a good thing about this movie for what the statement is.
So, what would you rate this?
I think I rated this a 4.5. There is moments where I think, like, the visuals are a little weak or the acting is a little, like, eh. But the story itself is strong and I've said it Minus One, but it's to a lesser extent with this film. If I can connect in any way, shape, or form with the human side story in a Godzilla movie, you've won.
Yeah.
That's where I'm at with it.
For me, this is a 4. It was a 4 the first time I saw it, and it's still a 4. It's a political thriller, not really my genre, but they do a lot with it. I appreciate the message a lot. I think it's really well shot. Some of the direction, like some of the cinematography that they did just in a boardroom, mm-hmm. completely unnecessary. Deeply fascinating for me as a cinephile. Loved it.
It's very erratic. Like I kind of mentioned it when we were talking about Minus One and how I thought the cinematography there felt more comfortable and familiar. Cinematography? Yeah. It felt a little more familiar. Where this film is very erratic and it's scene to scene to scene to scene, but that's the plot. That's the point.
And they even try and make the political thriller aspect kind of thrilling, and they do the best they can, but all in all, it's a political thriller, and this is probably as high as I could go for one.
So, an average of 4.25?
Yeah.
It's pretty fucking good still, especially for a Godzilla movie.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a good film. Obviously my third favorite Godzilla. How would you rate them now that we're at the end?
Of all the ones we've reviewed, I think Minus One is number one for me.
Agreed.
I think this is my second favorite. But I also have that nostalgia. I don't even want to say nostalgia. That personal attachment to it.
Yeah,
it's
I get
my
that.
Intro to it.
I get so that.
This is my second. And then the original is my third. And that's mostly because the original is fantastic. And it carries the entire message.
You're talking about the Raymond Burr one.
Man, fuck off. No, the original. 1954, not 1955.
I'm going to flop those two, and obviously 98's your bottom. Mm-hmm. I'm going to flop those two where it's Minus One for me, and then the original Godzilla, just because it's such an important film. It's fantastic. It started all of this.
Right.
And I love classic cinema. And then Shin, because it's a damn good film. And then 98 is just a junk popcorn monster flick, and it's fine.
It's a very average monster movie. It's a very bad Godzilla movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm fine with that.
I give Godzilla 98 a lot of hate that it deserves for a Godzilla movie that it doesn't deserve for a monster movie. Is that fair?
That's fair. That's fair. And so we'll be back next with our year in review, wrap up, whatever we want to call it.
Yeah, maybe not next week, but soon.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Well, I wasn't saying next week. Okay. I was saying that's what we'll be back with.
Yeah, because this will be right around New Year's. So
yeah,
year in review, and I can't even imagine what year in review. This Godzilla Minus One really fucking threw a wrench in what I thought was happening. No,
top three with honorable mentions. That's what
that's
we do.
It. Yep.
Yeah.
Are we still doing biggest disappointments too?
Oh yeah.
Are we doing disappointments or worst movie? Because we need to clarify that with Kylie because she felt bad about Northman.
Well, either. Both. Okay. Both.
So three top three lists. Best, worst, biggest disappointment. That's three.
Yeah. Okay, well, I don't know if I could do three of each, but I can say what was my worst and my biggest disappointment. I can nail those two. I don't know if I can give you more than...
Okay, we could probably just say the biggest disappointment. Because, I mean, critiquing is very personal. Yeah. So to say worst movie is a little unfair.
Yeah, that's clearly the worst made film you've seen this year, whereas, like, biggest disappointment for me would have been The Fablemans for last year, because I thought that was garbage, whereas you loved it.
Yeah. So, okay, yeah, let's do biggest disappointment. We'll have the two top three lists.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, we'll be back with that.
You've arrived at your destination.